It's me.
Ooh, who's you? Who's this?
Come on, stop playing, broski. You know who it is.
Who's this?
Is this a Verizon commercial? I don't get it.
No, no, speak louder. I can't hear you.
Hello?
Beep, beep, beep. You've reached the voicemail of Smooth. After the tone, please leave a message.
I can't believe this keeps happening to me. I need to get some new friends. And welcome to our show. And on today's episode, we are going to be breaking down life before the internet and leading up to social media. What do you guys think about that?
Honestly, all I remember from high school is not seeing enough Somali people and then going to night school and being kicked out on my second day. But not my second day, maybe my third day, but we'll talk more about that.
We're going to get into that for sure. Me, I feel like I enjoyed life before the internet because I feel like having a good conversation is a lost art today. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I believe that. And also for me, life before the internet,
yeah,
for me was, I was less light-skinned. I was outside.
I love it.
After the internet came, I think I became more light-skinned.
What's that?
Before the internet, I was outside with it.
I think the internet brings a lot of pros and a lot of cons. Staying connected with family members from different countries and different cities, I feel like that part brings us closer to each other because I could see my brother's kids in a different state just through social media and see them growing up from pictures that they've been posting and stuff. The negative, we could talk about this all day. I think everybody has their own aspect of what they call negative. I would say just pressure. There's a lot of pressure on the internet.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's experience is different, but with me, social media has made me a little bit more conscious of what I should be sharing.
Yeah, and you know, like, I feel like people are so quick to attack you for anything you do, say, or do on the internet. Mm-hmm. And like all things in life, it's a double-edged sword. There's good and bad in everything, like you said, Bella. And I think we should focus more on how we can benefit from the internet.
So let's start from our childhood. I feel like in elementary school and whatever, let's say anywhere between like 11 and above, you could remember being children and going outside to play. We didn't even have phones to meet up. I literally used to tell my friends, the green box, 5 o'clock. And the green box, 5 o'clock.
Everyone had a green box.
Swear to God. Like the green box, 5 o'clock. And it's like, or like in front of the playground or the corner convenience store that everybody used to go to. Like, that's how we met up. And how would we be able to tell each other that? Right after school, it was an everyday schedule. Hey, Saturday, if my mom lets me out, I'll be there. If 15 minutes, I'm not there, just go home. She didn't let me out, you know? And life was so easy and like dandy. And I feel like my nieces right now, the life they live in, they all have iPhone 12s. They don't even get to be themselves. Every day it's TikTok, TikTok. You're in the playground. It's like no one's playing basketball. No one's doing any type of physical activity besides going outside to play TikTok. Could you even play TikTok? No. You can't. You know? So I feel like their childhood, every time I talk about them, they're like, I speak about my childhood like it was 1,000 years like away, like a dinosaur, because I'm like, we never did this and we never did that. And they're like, come on, you're just old.
Yeah. I think growing up, we developed an ability to use our imaginations. Mm-hmm. So the other day I was talking to my sister and she told me a story that I did not remember about when we were 13, 12 years old. And we went to a middle school that was sandwiched in between two high schools. And one day she was telling me that we were walking home from school and I was saying hello to everybody. And then she got confused and she asked me, do you know any of these people? And I said, no. So like when you're using your imagination, you're having fun, right?
Of course.
Because I think personally, the funnest thing that I've ever enjoyed about my life personally is self-amusement.
Like, of course,
doing something out of the ordinary just to enjoy it. Because you, in life, you never know what's going to happen next, right?
No, 100%. And also, like, back then, like, everybody would be outside and, like, you didn't need a basketball, a football. You didn't need anything. If you had your homies and your people outside, yeah. you guys can do anything. We're playing kick the can. We're playing manhunt. Yeah. We're running all through the neighborhood, up and down.
Yeah.
And we're having a blast. And by the time we're done having a blast,
we get so bored and start knocking on neighbors' doors. They can take a 9-door. That's how bored we get.
Everything. And then by maghrib, all the parents are outside chasing us to come inside.
Yeah.
They're saying, Sokol, get inside now. And we're screaming, no, we want to go outside.
Literally.
But now it's like, these kids, it's like, if you tell them to go outside, it's like a punishment.
Yeah, you see like all these parks empty.
Yeah, you're like, you know, go outside, go do some chill.
They actually, the crazy thing is, my nieces, they actually go outside, but it's like their outside is not, I feel like every day's the same. I didn't know what was going to happen the day I stepped outside. Like, there might be a fight on the other end of Regent Park. I might be going to, there's like local cherry beaches around. Yeah. We used to walk there. And that's because we felt safe within each other. And we, I guess, character development. You're not afraid of every single thing that happens to you because you've had so many different experiences being outside. But with these kids, it's like...
Social anxiety.
Problem, yeah. They don't even know how to be themselves. Everything. Even my niece's other day, she was telling me, oh, do you like this picture? Should I post it on Instagram? And I said, if you like it, why don't you post it? And she's like, is it Instagram worthy? And she's 14 years old. What does Instagram worthy mean? Means, is she fly enough? Does she look good? Is the lighting great? And it's like, at 14, I was posting random things on like Facebook if I had Facebook. But what was that? I used to actually have...
MySpace?
I still have it. Yes! MySpace, but I wasn't so
He's been waiting for this conversation.
I wasn't so into my looks. I wasn't so into my looks that I was critiquing what I should post online. And I feel like that's such a sad part in this society that they have to adhere to like the IG baddie at such a young age. It's
at
like
14 is scary.
At 14, like when do you look? And my niece has like designer,
yeah,
like that I gave her. But I mean, like she has designer and like she's wearing a Goose and stuff at 14. And it's like she's wearing. And I'm like, I didn't work for my first Goose until like. Finishing high school, and that's like working at the CNE for 12 hours a day. And y'all know about the CNE flex. Yeah, if you know, you know.
100%.
Yeah, I'm still shocked that your 14-year-old niece has an iPhone 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking around with a 5S with crack screen.
Oh my god!
But
does she still text back? Is the real question.
On. With the crack screen or not?
Is she texting?
She got a text back.
So I feel like there's a lot of pressure for these kids to grow up faster.
Yeah.
But I think they look older too.
Really?
Yeah, because like let's break it down. I don't know if every single household is the same, but like the little girls that I see now, they have eyelashes, makeup, like their nails are done. And I think it's because that they see these social media influencers
mm-hmm.
so much, and that's the only reason they're trying to adhere to this look. We never had to adhere to a look. We knew celebrities are celebrities, but we didn't have regular people like us having social media and then having to look like them, yeah. You know?
Everybody's celebrity on social media, right?
And exactly. Also, they're not first generation, right? So mm-hmm. obviously how they perceive looks and all of that is going to be different than how we did it.
Of course.
We came without giving a damn. Like, mm-hmm. we came and we reveled in being different. We like that.
We came with the triangle hijabs and the jean skirts, yeah, and they're like, where are you from? Yeah. Are you Pakistani? Yeah. No, I'm Somali.
Yeah. we held it down regardless. So everybody, I can say all of us have pictures where we are wearing, I can say for me, Nomad, where we're wearing triple XL shirts.
Of course. Don't remind me.
Yes.
I got down to jeans.
And baggy jean shorts.
I forgot about that.
The Rockaway.
Do you remember the era of the, you used to wear a basketball jersey, but you had to wear it backwards? You have to. So I used to wear the Celtics because I just like green and white. I didn't even know Pierce. Yeah. I used to have Pierce, yeah. And it had to be white, yeah, and green, and it had to be Celtics.
Come
I didn't
on,
even
like
care.
That was swag. You step out the house, you have your mm-hmm. triple XL white tee mm-hmm. with your long Rockaway jeans.
Yep.
You're flat with some Air Ones.
Yeah.
No one's talking to you. You're taking pictures, like putting your hands out, you're doing whatever, and you're posting that 2 seconds. You don't care. You're not saying, oh my god, well, they like it. You liked it.
So
you and your homies were happy. You can see the happiness of people.
Yeah.
People didn't care. Like, we lived a carefree, happy lifestyle where we just did it to do it.
We
weren't thinking about anybody else.
Do you feel like it's because we didn't know any better? Because like now, because of the internet, you have access to the entire world in front of you, right? So you see more of the what everybody else has which
absolutely
you didn't have,
absolutely
right?
That's a pressure to have to keep up, right? When you're young, it's like you just see the four kids around you, and sometimes there's even a little pressure, like, oh my god, he has a latest Jordans and you're still wearing the same Jordans from last season. That's small. Imagine like kids your age having the latest phone, wearing the expensive name brands, having like all different platforms and stuff. I feel like 100% it's the fact that social media is like,
yeah, like I'm very worried about younger generation of Somalis, Muslims, and all youth, because like the amount of pressure they have at such a young age is insane. But I feel like they are smarter than me, because I started to notice that kids that are in their early 20s started to realize that they want to go into they have entrepreneurial spirit that I never had and never thought about. And because of the pressures that they see through social media, it helped them grow up quicker.
Of course.
But like Smooth was saying, we are like the test dummies. We're the first generation,
yeah,
right? So a lot of the things that my nieces get to do that I never got to do, like simple things as joining the swimming pool team, whatever,
yeah,
the swim team.
Yeah.
My dad was like, you're not wearing a bathing suit,
right,
and was joining a swim team. He said, you can play basketball, you can wear tights underneath your shorts. So I became a baller. But there's things that I liked. I wanted to do volleyball. He said, nope, you cannot play volleyball.
Yeah.
So I feel like my niece is now my sister literally lets them do whatever they're good at. Obviously, they have to adhere to like, all right, Simon's willing and stuff, but she's open to it. My father heard swimming. He said, over my dead body.
Yeah.
You're going to be swimming with who? Who's going to be watching you? Men? Never. You know? So I feel like our parents, again, they just wanted to shelter us. We were the test dummies, first generation. They were just new to this themselves.
Yeah, of course.
And so I think that the only reason why entrepreneurship would even be an idea is because my dad wanted me to be a doctor. He didn't want me to be something regular.
Yeah.
So imagine the kids coming up right now, they want to be DJs, they want to be YouTubers. The parents are now, they're probably old, and some of them are maybe young parents, and they're like, well, yeah, just become whatever you want to become at this point, because I've had it.
Yeah. And also, it's like just the support, right? So like now that we've grown up and we've done whatever, now when we have children, like we're going to be more open to things, because we know how the society works. We know where these kids can go. We understand that there's money everywhere.
Yeah.
There's money
to be made
everywhere.
The crazy thing is, I grew up here my whole life in a very modern but conservative household. And I see myself being very conservative raising my children.
Why?
I find my sister's actually much more liberal than I am. I'm very conservative. I don't believe in like mixed school dances. And I went to mixed school dances because I see firsthand. I just feel like Ilahi protected me from a lot of things in life. And I feel like a lot of people didn't got the short end of sticks. And I don't want my children one day, I don't know, I'm afraid if they're not going to be able to make the same decisions I made. Like, I don't know.
But you don't want to project that type of fear on them. You have to let them take their...
I won't be like a crazy mother. Like, I won't be like a crazy mother in a sense. I don't know what people call crazy, but I don't know. I won't be like over the top with religion, but I feel like a lot of the times... our parents left us in these half-wits to fend for ourselves. We obviously had a cultural background, religious background taught to us, but then we went into this community not knowing how our minds could be affected.
Sink or swim.
It was sink or swim, right? So I feel like with my children, I probably would be much more hands-on, and even looking at the friends that they have, the school that they have to go to. I mean, I went to the worst elementary school, the worst high school, and it's just my parents, they didn't know better, right? It's not like they were going there and knowing that this is a very bad urban city school.
Yeah.
But do you think that's bad for you growing up? Because look how you turned up.
That's luck, though. I can tell you how
that's
luck, because I know a lot of friends that I had didn't grow up like that. I know a lot of guy friends I had didn't even survive. They didn't even make it to high school. Even when we got to high school, the education was so bad in my middle school that they barely could read in the 11th grade. We had overcapacity students and not enough seats. It was all high school. Eastern was all about basketball. Like, there was teachers that would literally bump up the kids' grade because they were like, I won't be able to go into this university if you don't give me this grade. The school had a metal detector.
I don't think you should be exposing those type of secrets.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, like, why would I, now that I know know better. I'm educated. I'm hands-on. I know what district has what schools. And, like, my kids can never go to an inner-city Toronto school. I don't care. I don't even think that the school that I used to go to right now, it's still up. They said that it changed. It got gentrified. Da-da-da. No, I don't want them anywhere near it. Guess
I'm
what?
Like, I'm the complete opposite. Like, I'm a bit crazy because I feel like the harder the hardships they go through, the stronger they're going to be, right?
I think I agree.
I would throw them in somewhere that's very hard and see if they can swim.
Because, like, no, you have to understand, like, also, like, it's how you're raised up, right? Like, yeah. You were raised up by your father, and he gave you a set of morals, a code and a way to live. Mm-hmm. And you followed that, and that was, like, your parameter on what to do and what not to do. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what situation you were put in, you still had that with you.
I think the difference between our generation and the generations coming now is when we were younger, growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, it was like, we're Muslim, we're Somali. This kind, they're doing whatever they want because we're not the same. We don't have the same religion. So even in high school, when people are smoking and they're drinking and stuff, it was like us against them kind of thing, because you're like, oh, this is not for me. Like, you knew you were the other, right? But I feel like my niece's generation right now, it's the other Somali Muslim kids doing that.
Them in there.
Yes. So I feel like they have a harder position, kind of, right?
Yeah.
A little bit harder than we did. Because we had our, like, oh, we got to go home because we're not allowed to go there. And we were not allowed. And it was just not only me. It was other Somali girls, other Muslim girls, Ethiopian, Oromo, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We came together as, like, the strict tiger. Yeah, we protected each other on what we knew, what we couldn't do, what wasn't allowed for us.
Of course.
The generation's coming. What do you think?
I gotta be honest, like me, I'm always talking about religion and I'm always talking about staying home and all that stuff. But I didn't do that when I was young.
We didn't. None of us did. Who
did? I didn't do that.
Oh. We broke up.
I was pretty wild when I was younger. I lived,
a good life.
I lived for experiences my whole life. Mm-hmm. I lived in the moment. I chased desires and I feel like, because of those failures, it brought me to today, alhamdulillah. At the end of the day, I feel like there's 1,000 ways this is going to go. Regardless of what you're going to go through your life, your whole life is just going to validate your beliefs. So let's get into experiences before the internet. We talked about how when we were younger, we got to play outside and use our imagination. I want to ask you guys about the first time you got a cell phone, and how did that feel? Because when we all experienced the first cell phone, it was, it blew my mind personally.
I wasn't allowed to have a cell phone. I was the youngest of 5 girls, and my sister, I don't know if she's listening to this, actually gave me her broken phone. It went into water and she said it wasn't going to work. Put it in rice. And if it works after the rice mechanism, you could keep it. So I'm here putting the booties together. I'm like, I'm about to get my first phone. You know, I did it. And guess what? The phone started ringing. I'm like, alhamdulillah, this is my first phone. So I kept it. I remember it was like,
remember the first person you called?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I don't. I would want to say it's my friend Mona, but I don't remember the first person I called. But I wasn't allowed to have a phone.
Yeah.
My dad wouldn't buy it for
Did
me.
You hide it?
And I thought it was, oh, he just doesn't want to buy it for me. I didn't know I was not allowed to have it, you know? So one day I'm in my room and then a phone is ringing. And I'm like, oh, hello, hey, yeah, I'm going to come outside. And then my dad's like, yeah, it's got a telephone. And I said, it's mine. Nah, yeah. He literally grabbed it like this. My show's in 10th grade. Did you guys too young to have a phone? 10th grade.
No.
Back then?
Yeah.
Yes.
You think so?
100%. No.
10th grade.
No.
Literally 10th grade. And then my dad was like, who are you going to talk to? I'm like, just telling my friend that I'm coming to Homework Club. He was literally took the phone. He said, who gave it to you? And I kind of snitched my sister out over there. And then he had a family meeting. He said, nobody, you know my rules here. Last year of high school, he thinks grade 12 is like when you're growing, you're about to go to university. And then you kind of proved yourself. You're a big woman. You're educated. And I was like, okay. And he goes, that or when you get your first job, like then you could have a phone. And I'm like, okay, pizza, here I come.
Yeah, that's crazy. I got my first phone in university.
So you have no phone in high school?
No phone in high school.
I got it by grade 12.
What about you?
Me, I'm not gonna lie to you, I got it going to grade 11 summer. So my grade, end of grade 10 year. I worked that summer. I made a lot of money. Mm. I touched $200 of all that money.
Wow.
And I was given that $200 and I was told, here's your $200. Hold this. Go buy yourself a cell phone.
Yeah.
I will pay the bills with all the cash that you gave me. And enjoy yourself.
Where did you work?
I worked for my uncle at the Portables in Jamestown.
Portables to Portables.
Yeah. So it's like...
The store?
It's like, you know, the classrooms that were outside?
Yes.
In those little those little things. So it's like those. That, so those were in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we'd have a little tutoring thing there.
Yeah.
So I worked for my uncle that summer.
Yeah.
And what he'd do is he'd take my check when I get paid and give it straight to my...
Wow.
And I'd say, listen, brother, I'm the one working. What's going on here?
Wow.
So your first job was C&E, and your first job was...
Actually, my first job was Pizza Pizza.
Pizza Pizza.
Yeah, full-time job.
So then I bought the cell phone. I remember it was a Samsung MP3 phone. Automatic, no, I was that guy.
Wow.
What did you rebuff it?
Oh, everything. I downloaded everything. Like, you can... It's a flip phone. Mm-hmm. So when it's closed, it's playing the music.
Yeah.
You touch play, it has this thing on it. It's white. It's like silver. And when you open it, it's cell phone. So I'm playing my tunes, have my headphones in. Everybody's saying, yo, where'd you get that? I'm the first one.
Okay, let's
that
ask
guy.
Your question.
Come
your
on,
first, okay, how about you? You got your first phone in university.
Yeah.
Why? Why'd you wait that long?
Your parents? No. It wasn't because of my mom. It was because me. I started using the internet late, and I used the cell phone late. Like, I was so consumed. My whole life, I lived for experiences. I never... I was the last one of my friends to make a Facebook account. I was the last one to get a
cell
phone.
Me too. You know, the crazy thing is, people think I'm so big on social media. Like, I live for social media, but it's the same thing that you said. I started so late. Like, Instagram, like, I just went, another social media platform, another one. All my friends had it, and they're like, come, no, it's so fun. You get to meet guys. Oh, my God, guys that you would never see. Like, look, come on. It's all about the guys. You know what I'm trying to say?
Always, come on.
You know? And then I was like, okay, whatever. Let's do this. Like, you know, let's just, I'll come on it. But it's true. I was very late on social media.
Yeah, me too. And that experience, I didn't even want to go on social media. But I remember, I think it was, I was 21, I think, at the time. And I was working at a call center for monster.ca. You know that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Recruiting website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while I was working there, my whole job was just to set up employers with employees. So I had a lot of free time. I wasn't really on no phone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got introduced to the internet, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, I hit the ground running.
Is that good or bad?
So
can't say. Can't confirm.
So let me ask you. So like,
okay, can I ask one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I always interrupt smoothie guys. I've been told that multiple times. No, you know why? Because he said the first time you had a phone, and what I thought is the first time you guys bought a CD, your first CD that you bought. Do you guys remember? Because I remember.
Of course I do.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
There
my
go.
First CD I ever bought was when I was in grade 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Mace Double Up.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say grade 9, my first year of high school. And I bought Joel Santana with The Game's Been Missing.
Woo!
Dipset. I was such a Dipset. Yeah, my high school was such a... It was crazy how Dipset had such an impact.
Trust.
Like, you literally wanted to be dripped in, like, the sweater, the bandana, everything.
Come on.
Like, it was crazy.
That was me. Like,
hey, yeah. We were so obsessed.
No, he put some money on that
side. Like, we were so obsessed with...
That was the first time he gave you self-confidence.
He was
so obsessed.
He
was so obsessed.
I ran to the flea market, got the lot 29 with Bugs Bunny.
Don't play
with me. Come on now. Like, the spray shirts with your name on the back.
And you know what I liked about the 90s, too? It's like, it let girls... We didn't have to only express ourselves through makeup and, like, tight clothes and stuff like that. I wore baggy clothes all through high school. I never wore a pair of tight jeans until my first year of university.
Do you want to tell them about how you used to have red hair?
Yeah, but that came late. That came late in life, though. That was like, way after high school. But I really, like, I was wearing jogging pants, hoodies. My school uniform was a black T-shirt. I put it on top of 3 hoodies. Like, everything was just... A tomboy. It was cool to be a tomboy and, like, not wearing, like, sexual clothes.
Aaliyah made it cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So I miss that era.
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of bringing back that whole baggy clothes right now in a weird, bummy, like, Salvation Army.
What about you? What was your
first
CD?
I ever bought was 50 Cent, Get Rich.
I knew it's a lot of people's first CD.
Yeah, it is. Because 50 was like, he was that dude.
Yeah.
He was that dude. He was coming with number fire.
I agree.
He bought a G-Unit, the G-Unit sneakers.
Yeah.
He had G-Unit sneakers.
Oh, my God.
Can't believe G-Unit did a deal with a psycho. Reebok did a deal with a psycho.
Damn, homie. In high school, you was the man, homie. What the...
Happy
to you. That is like, that literally. Line resonates with a lot of people. Like, it was amazing. No.
You know, I wanted to tell you guys a story about an album.
Okay.
And an artist, because we're talking about artists right now. I wanted to bring this up. This is something that's going to shock you guys. So this is around 2005, 6. My childhood best friend, I grew up in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up coming to Toronto to start university at Ryerson University. So he stayed with me for a bit until he got his own apartment. And then one of the greatest albums I've ever, ever heard came out. Trappin' 101.
Of course. Ooh, Jeezy. Of course.
I used to hit the kitchen lights.
Of course. What do you mean? I remember one, not to interrupt you, I remember one eight. We went to Woodbine Mall as for every single Somali kids growing up in the 90s. And everybody was wearing a Snowman t-shirt. Yep. Imagine the whole theater of just kids wearing Snowman t-shirts. And that's how Jeezy had a huge effect on us in the 90s.
That's what I wanted to get to. So he was one of the most kindest and
motivational.
No, I'm talking about my friend.
He
was one of the most kindest person, and I've personally never ever seen him angry. And I purposely try to piss him off.
Oh my god!
Because that's what you're friends one of those? Do.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
You're one of those.
100%.
Yeah,
that's when your friend's too jolly, you gotta make him mad.
You got it. But it never worked out for me. So what happened was, when that album came out, I don't know if you guys realized this, but a lot of young Somali boys started selling drugs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my friend...
I wanted to whip it. What are you talking about? I wanted to go into the kitchen. Nah, guys, it's a joke. Or maybe not. Okay, go ahead. Music did affect a lot of people in that kind of way.
Within 2 years, he ended up getting arrested. Within 2 years. And alhamdulillah, he was locked up for, I think it was like 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up getting acquitted for the charges. He moved back with the family, got his life in order. And every time I talk to him, we laugh about how that album turned him out, you know?
I believe it.
And
why do you think, Islamically, why do you think there's so much evil and deviation and fitna inside music? Music really, I know niggas, I'd be like, when we go and do whatever drive-bys or whatever they do, they have to have certain type of music.
It blackens your heart. So like, what I realize now, because me personally, I try to avoid, the album too, Chief Keef.
Chief Keef
changed the world. Changed the entire world.
The world.
Yeah. So what I realize now that I'm older, I try to avoid music as much as I can.
Absolutely.
Because what I realize is music opens your heart up for this world, and the Quran opens up your heart for the afterlife. So the more you listen to music, the more hard your heart gets.
So, segue to this next part. So, like, how was it that you guys... Let me start with you, no matter. How was it that you linked up with your friends since you didn't have a cell phone until you were in university?
So, I'm going to get into linking up with my friends before the internet. It was, like Bella said, you gotta set an appointment.
You gotta improvise.
Landmarks.
You gotta improvise.
You're like, you remember that building?
You see Stinky Store? Pull up.
Pull up right there.
Convenience store.
Even sometimes you, like, I don't know, I'm a little older than you guys, so like back in the day, you used to be able to call payphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used payphones too. Yeah.
You could call the payphone.
You call that your friend's house and like come through. I'm in the green.
Another thing too is I had a pager in high school.
Oh, you're that guy.
Okay, you see, you're cool.
The pager wasn't working. I just put it on my hip.
Oh god.
Just to look cool.
It looks cool though. It looks cool.
Yeah. So I used to hang out with like most of us, we stayed within our neighborhood, right?
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
The only time I would travel was for basketball.
Yeah.
Like basketball, like you were talking about last week, we opened up a lot of doors for us, met a lot of different people across the world.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. And I can't believe this guy was telling me you played basketball.
Yeah, I played basketball. And I think that's why a lot of people would say you went to school downtown, high school downtown. How do you know so many people in the GTA? Like, I know enough people for somebody who never really even ever lived in the West End, right? It's because of sports. I played basketball. a little sports, a little beef, you know what I'm saying? Mixed with that, you get to know enough people. a little recreational activity, a little physical activity, you know? It was basketball that I met a lot of people. The crazy thing is, I want to tell a story like you told me. So I used to have neighbors/cousins. You know these neighbors when you live beside them for like 15 years and your parents just tell you that they're your cousins, just go to the school and tell them they're your cousins. They moved to Jamestown. And then I used to go to visit them every summer or whatever. And I consider myself, you know, in the popular crowd from where I'm from. Like, I was a popular kid in middle school. I was a popular kid in high school. Like, there's only one Bella in Regent. Don't say my name twice. But I went to this new neighborhood. I was staying here. I used to come visit Jamestown. And then I remember my cousin taking me to Albion Mall just to kick it. And she was like, oh, my friend's having a going away party. And you should, like, I'm going to take you. You're going to meet a lot of people there. And I'm like, cool. So I went to Albion Mall. And you guys, it was like three floors of like Somali kids. Like, and when I say that's new to me, it was so new to me because in Regent Park, it's like, what, six of us?
Yeah.
And it's very easy to like know each other. And I felt like out of place. Nobody knew me but my cousin. Hey, let's call her Marian. What's up, Marian? What's up, Marian? And I feel like Marian's little minion. I'm just walking around. Nobody knows who I am. Like, nobody, right? 5 years later, after this social media pops off and everybody knows each other, I come with the same Marian to the same mall with the same people, but not everybody saying, hey, Bella, what's up, Bella? And I was like, look how times change. Like, and this is what social media does to you. It gets you connected with people that you probably would never know because you're not leaving your neighborhood, you're not leaving your ends, you're going to your school on this side. It just connects you with a bunch of people. People act like they know you, even if they don't. If they come across your social media page, now it's Bella, they feel like they can approach you, say whatever they want. If it's hi, if it's salam,
what type of stuff do you hear? I'm really curious.
Oh my God, the craziest things in the world.
They tell you their real life stories?
I mean, they just say, hey, what's up, Bella? Are you from? Well, I have you. I follow you on social media, stuff like that. I always said personally, like, I always chose to have a open social media. I've never closed any of my accounts. Like, I've never had a private account. My Snapchat's not private. I get like almost 2,000K views on my Snapchat. None of my social media platforms are private. And it comes with a lot of goodness because I get connected with sisters that probably I would never have met, like halaqas, and come to be asked to speak in certain places that probably if I had a private account, people wouldn't know who I am. It also comes with the worst negative comments and criticism. Like, you would not, like,
do you get trolled a lot?
I get trolled a lot.
That makes you tough though.
You know what? Okay, I get trolled a lot, and then for a long time, I would clap back at every single comment. If you say something to me, I have some 10 things to say back. And now I came to the conclusion, like, you're really, really fighting yourself. You don't even know who these people are. It's Ayan 2009-900-567-J25. Who is that? So what can I possibly say? And this person could be your neighbor. She could be your coworker. It's somebody that you grew up with.
It's like, insane. It could be your best friend.
Yeah. It could be your best friend. Who could it be?
Yeah, and you're going crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it'll be something simple as like, why do you call yourself Bella Big Deal? You're not even a big deal. Something very simple like that to like, oh, weren't you the same girl like your ex-boyfriend was doing? Like, just weird things that they think they know and that, like, they'll try to say it to you. I've even had the worst comment of my life that I actually took a step back and I'm like, okay, now these people are taking it too far. They're like, oh, I heard your mom passed away because your dad caught her cheating with a man and he shot her. Is that right? Question mark. Underneath my comment, underneath my picture. You know, and I was just like, okay, there's one thing to troll and there's one thing to be like, what are you doing now? Like, yeah. You know that my mom's passed away. I've said it multiple times in different platforms. And now you're taking it too far. And that's what happens.
They want your attention.
I always thought like, okay, nothing's going to bother me. Somebody telling me how I look, like, you can't tell me how I look. I'm already confident about myself. No matter what, at my ugliest, with bad teeth, chubby, everything, you can't tell me. But once you get to like family matters and like you're talking about my brother passed away and you're like this weird stuff like that, then it's only so much somebody could take, right? So, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what it is? Like, you're gonna have to sooner or later realize that words are just words, right? So, this experience for you is going to, it's going to benefit you in the long run compared to a lot of other people because it's going to wake you up quicker than everybody else. Because at the end of the day, everybody's going to have opinion. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to try to steer you to different directions.
All my friends used to say, I don't know how you wake up with an open social media account. Like, the anxiety would kill me. Like, like who does that? Like, you're letting anybody look at your pictures, anybody comments. So it's like, they're saying, like, you feel these people. And I don't. I said, exactly. Words are just words. I got to a point, even when they DM me some crazy shit, like, they'll repost my picture and they'll be like, ? But you're fat in life. Like, weird stuff like that. Like, literally weird stuff like that. And then I don't even read anymore. As soon as I see, like, first two letters are negative, or first two words are negative, block. Like, it's because sometimes I used to read and dwell and be like, what's wrong with these people? Are these people normal? And it's just, it happens.
You know what's crazy? When I was younger, I used to thrive on hate. Like, my favorite
me too.
Character was Bane from Batman. Mm-hmm. And, like, when somebody would say something negative to me, I would enjoy it.
Of course.
And I didn't realize it had an effect on me, because I started doing more and more crazy stuff. And it got more crazy.
Don't you think, though, social media, it gives people, like, a face. And sometimes it's like, are you really that person? Like, people don't even know who you really are, right? On social media, you get to come here and be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
That's one. And then another one idea is, like, you become so bait. Like, there's no place I could ever go, and it's like one person might recognize me, you know? And that's something I wish I could take back, because the age that my sister and my brothers and they grew up, people didn't know unless you introduced themselves and nobody knew you, you know? But now people know you based on your face. Like, she's from this end. These are her siblings, yeah. My boy's sister. Like,
yeah.
It's because of social media. And I have homies in the neighborhood, like, they're the forefronters that are on social media. And there's guys that walk around everywhere. They can walk on every strip. They're not afraid because
yeah.
their face is not out there.
Yeah.
Once your face is out there and you have, it's your passport, right?
Yeah.
People start knowing who you are. And it's a bit scary sometimes.
What about for you?
So for me, for the question of how do I link up with friends and stuff,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, for me, it would be the MSN.
Oh my god!
So what we'd have to do is, like, you know, you come home from school and
nice.
Hoya's
nice.
On the phone, and then I tell Hoya, listen, it's after school, Hoya, get off the phone for like 10-15 minutes so I can link up with my homies on MSN for like 10 minutes, please. And she's saying, okay, how about so and so's calling at 4:30, so you better get off. And I'll say, okay. So we unplug the phone, we plug in the internet, you hear the dial up. Dial up.
The 10-minute wait.
So you can't use the phone. Kids, just so you know, you can't use the phone and use the internet at the same
time. Oh,
like, you guys are privileged. We had to pick something.
I had a brother that used to police the computer like it was his. Like, he made it with his own hands. Like, even if you start grinning, he'd be like, who are you talking to? It's 7 o'clock in the night. Like, I used to be like, I'm playing a game. Like, he is the MSN warrior. Like,
yeah.
He's like, you're too young for MSN. Who are you even talking to?
How
the kids, I was 5 years younger than him. When I was on MSN, he just wanted to police it. He
yeah.
just thinks MSN is like a live chat. Why are you on there? I was like,
literally,
I'm talking to my friends.
Yeah.
Like, relax.
So we're all on it. We'll be on it and be like, yo, listen, my mom's on me. I have a 10-minute window. Listen, at 5 o'clock, come to the ball court. If you're not there at 5:15, you don't know. We're going to the mall. We're watching a movie. 5:15, we're gone. Doesn't matter what's happening.
Yeah.
That's the time. Everybody's going, but yo, I might have to. No, there's no. I might have to.
Hold on,
something can come up. Anything can come up. You don't know.
Yeah.
Something can come up. Whatever.
Even when people had cell phones, people thought with cell phones it was going to get easier. I have a cell phone free after 6. By the time 6 o'clock hits, I can't even be outside. It's Maghrib. It wasn't even free. I only had like 200 minutes.
Oh,
so I used to be like,
God.
I have no more minutes. I'm getting on the bus right now. See you at Yorkdale.
Literally,
the minutes are done, eh? No inbound, no outbound. It's done.
You have 200 minutes, and then your parents are using your minutes because they'll call
Killer.
You during the day.
Killer.
And the reason that you have a phone is to talk to them. It's not to talk to your friends.
Yeah.
What do you have a phone for? You think I pay your bills for you to talk to your friends? Those 200 minutes are mine.
Oh,
so when I call, you better pick up.
But don't you think you could get away with more when you were younger? Like, now my sister has my niece is literally on a program. Like, if you don't answer her call 2 times in a row, she's taking the phone away.
Yeah.
But before, I'd rather not even have a phone. I'm going to go, Wasaurega, the whole thing. And I'm going to come home and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
This is why I never got a cell phone.
Yeah, Wasaurega.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to
you
say? But now it's like, no. You think a phone is good? No, it's for us to get GPS every day.
Yeah.
Now there's location on. Imagine my parents when I'm at Yorkdale Mall when I said I'm going to Homer Club.
Yeah, yeah.
What am I doing at Yorkdale Mall?
Honestly, but the thing was, when we do that and we wareg and we go everywhere, we do everything and we walk in home, the worst feeling was sneaking back into the house.
But
and
yeah.
the whole house is dark and you think everybody's sleeping.
There's somebody
and
waiting
then,
for
and you don't know that your mother or your parent figures in the living room
waiting.
With a big stick waiting for you.
I don't know if you thought that.
No, me, it was a big stick, man. They're waiting for
me. Waiting for you.
Sitting quiet as a mouse.
That never happened.
And you think everything's quiet. You think the whole house is dead. You see everything. You take off your shoes. They let you almost get to. They let you almost get to your room.
Oh my god!
And that's when they get up. And they go, all here's this.
But yeah,
you look around. You say, "Who's clapping? Who's clapping at this time?" But yeah,
it's Bane.
I hear you. Well, where is this noise coming from? Hoya, you know who it is. Come to the fun day.
Well, you know what it is. I feel like you need that kind of boundaries. I feel like that's what made life so fun. Like, we all had the same experience. Oh my god, my mom is mad. Your mom's mad. Oh, my dad, he's raging. Yeah. Nah, we'll literally be in the same court, going to the same, back to the same apartment. Y'all know, follow me. Your mom's outside. I could see her waiting. Oh shit. Okay, bye guys. I'll see you tomorrow. And we do the same thing tomorrow again, you know?
And you know what it was in the neighborhood? Like the parents and everybody knew, like, that you were in trouble.
Yeah.
So, like, after you get in trouble the next day, you see, you're throwing out garbage, you're cleaning the house, and all the parents are looking, saying, "Idiot, he messed up. He had a fun night.
Everybody in the neighborhood.
He's paying for his fun night. They see you carrying eight garbage bags, walking in and out the house. They're saying, "Damn, you know, he messed up." Your homies are looking at you like, "Ah, we told you don't come with us. We told you you're gonna get in trouble."
So, like, I wanted to get into grad night experience. And for the viewers that are not from Canada, grad night is an event that high school seniors would have at an amusement park called Canada's Wonderland. And I think
one of the best amusement parks in the world. You gotta go.
But that grad night experience, I remember it vividly because it was one hell of a night.
It was bringing your MySpace to life. That's what you used to call it. Oh my god, that's a smart 01. Here's Emma 202. It was bringing to life. And you know what, that's the nomad. Look at him. Oh my god. I mean, to be quite honest, when I was in high school, I was not into guys, you guys. I was like such a tomboy when it got to like that part of my life. I got banned from grad night.
Why?
Because I got into a really bad fight. Well, me and my friends got into a really bad fight. And then the police, the security guards there had to, like, escort us out the building. And then I never ended up ever going back to grad night. So my grad night experience was short-lived. It was very short-lived. And you know what it was? Again, I don't know if you guys experienced the same thing. It's a lot of different high schools coming together. So it was a lot of tension.
Yeah.
It was a lot of things. And I don't think we're the only fights. There was like 7 fights that night. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of girls or guys that haven't seen each other. And we came like grad night. You know what time it is?
American schools that came too. I don't know about.
I don't remember that.
Did you get for my for when I was in grad night? It was all night. It was 9 p.m. till 6 a.m.
Mine's too.
Same time.
Yes. Same time.
Yes.
So when I went to grad night, they had schools from Michigan.
Wow.
All across Ontario. Mm-hmm. So you see people from everywhere coming to Canada's Wonderland. And just like you, there was a whole lot of fights.
Yeah.
Everywhere you
looked, it's crazy.
Right? And I feel like that experience running around, first time that I got to stay out late, it was mad.
I actually didn't lie to my parents about grad night. I literally said, we're going to Wonderland and it's going to be for graduation and everybody's going to be going there. I had a lot of friends that weren't allowed to go. Alhamdulillah, my dad's pretty like modern with that stuff. Yeah. He's like, as long as like you're going to be answering your phone and everything's going to be okay, just don't get into trouble. And what did I do? I definitely got into trouble.
What about you? I want to hear Smooth's experience in grad.
Grad night, like most of us, like what, my age, like, I don't think any of us like really went with our schools. So we'd go to another school and go with them. As long as you had a ticket, you could get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on a bus with another school and you're with a whole bunch of girls that you don't know. And you can be whoever you like.
What?
You can be Smooth. You can be Kobe. You can be Michael. You can be whoever you wanted. And you'd go and have a blast and give a whole persona.
Mm-hmm.
And then you link up with your homies. And all it was... swerve on the shorties.
Yep.
Have a good day, swerve on the shorties, and get to the 93.5 section. If you're at that section of the police, you're having a blast.
You know the crazy thing is, back to the social media thing, when I got into that fight in grad night, it wasn't even supposed to be my fight. It was just, I was the one that was recognized. That's the problem with the age of being popular in social media. So my friends got into a fight at a night school. I don't even know why. They were all the way like TCI, what, Tinseltown, Collegiate, whatever. And we went to Eastern, we're downtown. I don't even know what made us go all the way to TCI. So they got into a fight in TCI, and these girls were like, whatever, you know, whenever you see, we're going to see you. Now, West End and downtown beef is only going to be settled through Caravana, Eid, like, we're never going to see each other, you know? So grad night happens, and these girls, I guess my friends split. I was with one other girl, Mesquine girl. I'm like, wallah, she didn't even deserve it, you know? In the lineup, and these girls recognize me. They're like, oh, the region girls are here. Of course, we're in high school too, duh. And then I just got recognized. I wasn't even there that night. So I was like, fam, this is going to happen right now. So I'm like, you know, it's always, they were going to drop me regardless. They were going to fight me regardless. I should have just, I just went for the first swing, but it's because I'm from region. I wasn't even there. I couldn't even explain myself. Like, hey, I wasn't at the TCI fight, but if I was, I would be fighting too. But, you know, and that's the problem of being popular. My nieces have never gotten to a physical altercation in their life.
Well, that's,
and
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Fights was normal, but I feel like it gave you thick skin and taught you how to hold your own. But I don't think it's only them. High school fights are not big right now. No, I think, I don't know.
No, but now, because now it's the age. No, now it's the age of social media. So if you do fight, you
gotta record it. Yes.
It's recorded, so like, you might lose that fight. Back then, you didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, you fight the biggest dude, and you can get beat that. You can get beat the shit out of.
Yeah.
And it would be a story for like 2-3 days, but it's done.
Yeah.
But now, if you get beat up and they record it, it's on the internet. Everybody has a video. Like,
that,
you're known as that person. You're known as that person.
It's a
forever.
Fact. It's a fact.
So now, once that gets out to the internet, that ruins your self confidence. That ruins like
your job opportunities. Even if you get in trouble with the law,
and everything. Like, it makes you look weak. Like, it gives you a persona, and that like mentally and the self esteem for these kids, it's gonna hurt them, right? And also,
I don't know if you feel the same as I feel, but like, I feel like even right now, the younger generation, not even my nieces and stuff, let's say like the early 20 to like 23, 24, I feel like there's a lot for the females. I don't know about the males. There's not a lot of neighborhood like altercations where like we'll be in a facility hanging out and be like, oh, those are the Jaden Finch girls. Those are the Dixon girls. Those are the Regent girls. Like, I feel like growing up, that happened so often that it's rare that like you have real friends in other neighborhoods because we had so much like, you know, ongoing, unless like the 1-2 friends that I had like from Dixon and stuff like that I carried with me like since I was young, but it's not big that we get into, like, we're not friends like that, Miss Gunnel like that. But the younger girls right now, they go to spaces where it's like Bashal and nobody says, where are you from? Like,
that's not good though.
And I love it. I tell them all the time, like, you guys, right now, all you guys should be focused on school, getting money, and dating guys. Because in the end of the day, you guys don't have that other problem. Like, I can't talk to a guy from Jaden Finch. These girls are going to tell me I can't come to the block. Like, everything was so, like, arity growing up. Like, it was like, you just at the mall, and girls, Somali girls are looking at you. Instead of embracing you, it was like, where are you from? Why is she looking at me? Yeah. It was really, like, tense, I feel like, growing up. And that's why I got into a lot of aggressive... Now it's more... Unity. Who even says where you from? Yeah, like who says that?
Now it's more unity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, one thing, like, I want to address with the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like their social game is, like, so weak compared to ours. Not in the sense of social media. I mean, like, real-life interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids now, I feel like they're more awkward. They're more awkward.
They're socially awkward, of course.
Yeah, they're socially awkward, and like, we've taken away that real life experience from them. Mm-hmm. Like, speaking for the young homies, like, they do the Snapchat, the Instagram, like, talking to people, like, women and other people off that. Now when you see each other in real life, it's like, everybody's sitting around.
Chirp, chirp, chirp. And still on their phone.
And they're on their phone.
Still on their phone.
Like they'll be in a spot, message. Like, they'll be sitting, a bunch of guys will be sitting together with a bunch of girls, and the guys will be messaging each other like, yo, this is weird, man.
Boring.
I know.
Dead
this
ass.
Is so weird. And the girls are messaging each other in the group chat. Oh my God, these guys are so weird.
Awkward. Let's go home.
Nobody's saying it out loud. So everybody's in their group chat saying the other person's awkward, but nobody wants to break the silence. Nobody wants to, because they don't have that social skill. They don't have that ability to break ice. They don't have that just know-how, how to read a room and be like, okay.
Because they're not forced to.
Yeah, like, facts. We're all here. Let's just talk.
Even niggas, a grown-ass man want to show to you on Snapchat. You ever had a full relationship on Snapchat? All day voicemail. We live in the same city. All day voicemail. Like, what? Like, wallah, I tell guys, if I talk to you 4 times, and you don't ask me for my number, you're getting R'd, like open, close, like, boy, you're wasting my time now. And they do that. Instagram DMs all day, text messages all day.
You know what's crazy? My sister was, I was talking to my sister the other day. 2 days ago, she's telling me about these terms that that blew my mind. Something called gaslighting.
Gaslighting, yes.
What is that?
I honestly would have to have a great explanation because I see it all over Twitter too. I have an idea. It's like, I think it's like lying to somebody without like.
Yeah, she's telling me it's projecting. Like a guy who's commenting on a girl's picture nonstop over and over and over again, and then eventually when she does decide to give him attention, he'll run away. Like,
he'll slow you down.
Yeah, and he'll talk to her for a little bit and then he'll run.
That's hilarious. I feel like that happens to a lot of people. I think guys, the minute that they know that they caught your attention, they're bored.
Yeah, like, you're always have to be running around. You're always have to be.
Yeah. No, but I'm not lying to you. It's like, it's the chase.
You know what? I'm going to tell you guys a funny story. So, Caravana. So we're talking about, you were just talking about how social anxiety.
The only place I never fought, because I'm smarter than that. The FBI is at Caravana. I'm not dumb.
I don't know why you said FBI. You might need a tinfoil hat right now.
No, all I care about is heavily policed. Yeah. If you're fighting, you're going to jail for the night, for the whole weekend. I'm not trying to do that.
I see some crazy stuff.
No, Caravana. That's heavy. You crazy to do anything crazy in Caravana.
So like, I think it was my first Caravana, and second Caravana.
So you had your white tee, you had your towel?
No, I'll tell you exactly what I remember.
I've seen you in multiple Caravanas. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Showboys?
Red and blue polo.
Red and blue polo.
And I got a henna tattoo on my neck of wings, bird wings.
All right.
You really, really, really trying to pull.
He was working. Okay.
So,
wow.
If you guys remember Caravana, it was in its...
What year? What? Oh, 08.
I don't remember. Right. I'm an old man. It's a long time ago. Right? So, during the Caravana time, people would be walking up and down the street. On
Young Street,
Dundas,
back and forth.
Downtown Toronto. And guys would be trying to talk to girls and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the social awkwardness, right? Me, I never had fear of approaching
of course.
A girl, anything like that when I was younger. So this is an embarrassing story.
Yes.
So I remember I grabbed the girl's hand to say what's up to her. And back then, the girls were so rude.
So rude.
That you had to literally grab their hand, which I do not recommend to do. That's the only way I used to be able to get their attention. So I grabbed her hand and I said, "What's up?" And she looked at me up and down 2 times. I'll never ever forget this.
She looked up at me.
No, this is even crazy than that. She looked at me 2 times and then she said, "Shouldn't you be at home watching Sesame Street?"
No.
Everybody laughed at me. The whole street laughed at me.
You're amazing.
And I'm like, this is.
Do you guys find it like embarrassing when a girl makes you like projects you to be younger than you are? Because I tell a lot of boys that, boy, you're a kid to me.
That happens to me.
I think
every.
Why is this that bad? I'd rather a girl tell me you're too young for me than I don't want you. Ew. Imagine saying a girl says ew.
The ill would hurt more.
Yeah, like, but you're too young for me.
I'm not lying to you. It hurts because like, listen, I'm a grown ass man.
No, but does,
like,
how about if she is older than me?
No, that's fine.
I'm 23 and I'm like, relax.
No, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. That's fine. If you're older than me, that's fine. But most of the girls, because I have a baby face and I don't look nowhere near my age.
Yeah.
So a young girl will look me in the face and be like,
You're a baby.
Like,
you're
why are you talking to me? And they'll be like, no, I'm not. I'm older than you. They'll be like, no, you're not. Like, I'm older than you. So for them, it'd be like, they'd be like, oh, yo, listen, man, you're too young to talk to me. And I'd be like, no, I'm older than you. Then they'd say, no, you're not. And then I'm like, why am I arguing with this person? Then they'd be like, okay, so show me ID. I'm like, who are you? Are you the police? Are you like someone of authority figure where I have to show you my ID? I'm older than you. And that's it.
So we can all agree.
Either you take that story.
We can all agree that social media took away from people's personalities.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Let me ask you.
Like, it took away from their personalities.
Are you saying that social media is deterring people from building a personality?
Absolutely.
That's what you mean by?
Exactly.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. I haven't been on social media for what? Four years.
A lot of people be like, yo, this person's like this on social media, but when you see them in life, quiet, no talk, no skin boy, no shoes, like they'd be like, he's so dead, he's so boring.
Yeah.
Because people project this image on social media, like I'm fun, I talk, they're rapping, they're being themselves.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to face, social anxiety, not normal. That's why when a lot of people meet me, they're like, what about you? You're so fun. Like, even in life, we're so fun. And I'm like, I'm crazy both on social media and here. Like, I don't, like,
I
don't filter anything,
like,
you get
bellowed.
But a lot of people, they're on social media laughing and giggling. And then as soon as they come in a group setting, weirdos. They cannot carry a conversation. And that's why, and again, I think it's the pressure too. You know, when you come in a room, there could be five girls. Everybody, I'm not saying they're looking at me, but they're like, oh, Bella's here. You know, like, so imagine people are always... You can't even have a down day. Like, a day that I come and I had maybe a bad day and I'm in this environment and I don't want to be talked to. Right away, they're like, that girl's a weirdo. She better be down with her in life. She's a weirdo. Like, it's just always you. Why can't it be everybody else? There's so many other people here,
everybody,
you know?
Everybody wants you to...
be that. Don't put on a show. Be funny. Fight. Like,
it's a lot of energy.
It's a lot of energy. It's like, sometimes you're having a bad day. You're having, like, something happen to you and you don't want to kind of... express yourself like that, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people could be quiet. They could be whoever they want on social media. And then when you see them in life, they're just quiet. No one's gonna be like, Ayan, why are you not talking today? It's always, yo, Bella, what's going on? You
life
can't
of the party.
Yeah, you can, exact. It's a problem. That's what it is. It's the life of the party. And not everybody.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So.
No, you're right. No. Again, it's social media though. At least you decided to disconnect. I feel like I can never really disconnect from social media because it's, I don't know, it's, I don't want to say it's a drug, but it's such a part of me that even someone, my dad even used to, Muhammad Kawinan, he said, like, if I go somewhere and like, I know the boy in the front, I know the security guy, I know, like, I'm very known in my area, right? And it's like, where did you know Muhammad Kawinan is? Like, are you ever going to grow out of this? And I feel like, am I? Like, so now when I date guys or when I have a partner, like let's say when I want to get married and want to settle down, there was one little argument one time I had with my friends. They're like, Noah, you have a lot of guy homies, you have a lot of female homies, and you always end up with guys that are very quiet to themselves. Like, is it ever a balance? Like would it be like a negative towards the guy that you're with, that you know all these people? Would you be inviting a bunch of guy homies to your wedding or to your nikah? And I'm like, one day I said yes and all the girls were like, that's weird. And I'm like, what's so weird? I'm a big personality. Whoever signs to be with me for the rest of their life knows that, like, I'm not a bad person. I'm a bubbly person, and I'm bubbly with a lot of different people, coworkers, people I grew up with, ajnabi, Somalis, and that all those people are a part of me. It's a part of who I am. And so you kind of sign up for it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy...
I think the point I was saying is that what I enjoy about social media is that it opens a lot. It connects me to a lot of different
that's
people.
What it is. I don't
and
think it's social media itself.
It connected me to a lot, and a lot of people know me. Like sometimes, like hobbyists that are like my sister's ages will add me, literally on Snapchat. And my sister will be like, Nakta, like she could birth you. Why is she adding you? They just like me. They're like, oh my God, she's so fun. She's singing Somali music. She's fun. And it's like my. A lot of the time I'm exposed to a lot of different people, older, younger, like, and it's, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people are comfortable with that. My sister always said, like, a lot of that comes with evil eye. You could get lost in it. Wise people are always, once you start having a family, how are you going to
create boundaries?
How are you going to, like, not share all of you and all of them, like, what you're going to do? You need to cross over somewhere, right? And I feel like as the older I get, the more followers I get, the more people that know me, I feel like it's just, it's never going to be... That image won't die down, and I don't know if it's good, if it's bad. I just enjoy it for the time being.
You live in the moment.
I live in the moment,
right?
Yeah,
you live in the moment, of course.
Yeah, and I don't think I could... You know how you said right now for 4 years you haven't been on social media?
Best experience of my life.
I don't think that... I would want to do it, but I don't think I can.
You can do anything you want, you know that.
But social media runs a lot of part of my life.
Yeah.
It's part of your life now, but you never know how you're going to be in a few years, right? Because, like, you're not the same person you were when you were 25.
Absolutely
not. You're not the same person when you were 20, right? So you can say now, like, you don't want that, but you never know where you're going to go in 5 years.
But I control what I share. A lot of people, even I like to tell younger girls, like, a lot of the things that I share on my social media platforms is to guide the younger generation, to talk about... things that are happening in our everyday lives, just to give them an insight on my religious perspective. So my social media now at 30 is completely different than 22. 22, like, I was...
Just living your life.
I was living my life, you know?
You got to.
Yeah.
I respect that.
The only way you're going to learn.
Absolutely.
So I think we should move into our second part, the Somali spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do we have on deck this week?
Ooh, I got a special guest. It's...
a clothing company called Daily Paper from Amsterdam.
Wow.
And Daily Paper is an Amsterdam-based menswear and womenswear fashion brand established in 2012, inspired by African heritage of its own founders. It was created by three visionaries: Jefferson Osei from Ghana, Abdurrahman Trebsi from Morocco, and Hussein Suleiman from Somalia. Daily Paper was started as a blog, and they were interviewing a lot of interesting creatives from all over the world. As they started getting more traffic, they started printing t-shirts that said Daily Paper. And after a year or two, most of their revenue was coming from the t-shirts, and that's when they pivoted and changed their business model. And 4 years later, their blog turned into a global brand. They recently announced a collabo with Off-White.
Yep, I heard about that one.
Wow.
Virgil. Yep.
Virgil. And I think its company's called Surf Ghana, which is a made in Ghana product. And you can look for that on their website. I wanted to actually tell you guys a funny story about how I met Hussein.
Yeah.
So it was 2012, the same year that they started this. I went to Amsterdam by myself. We were talking about how do we meet up with friends and stuff. Yeah. I went to Amsterdam. I've traveled solo by myself before. And I met him at a 2 Chainz concert.
Shout out 2 Chainz.
And he was the only other Somali person inside the concert. And he showed me a lot of love, a whole lot of love. And it just so happened that his first cousin is one of my friends here in Toronto.
Oh, she's a small world.
1 degree of separation.
Yeah, very small world. Yeah.
And
that's amazing. Daily Paper.
Hey, listen, man. Daily Paper, we are never going to say no to drip. We are never ever going to say no to drip. Just know
the fact that he's even partnering up with Off-White.
He did a collab with Puma and I think another one with Supreme. Yeah. I'm not sure.
He's doing some things. I seen the Off-White one on Instagram and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That Daily Paper, they're getting paper now.
He's got a beautiful soul, man. I'm telling you. He blew my mind. And he's one of the most soft-spoken, kindest people I've ever encountered.
Big ups.
Yeah. So we're going to move into glad tidings to the believer.
Glad tidings to the believers.
And I wanted to use 2 verses from Surah Al-Rahman, where Allah says, is the reward for good anything but good? And which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? I feel like when we're stuck in a social media era where we're information overload, we get sucked into our day-to-day lives, that we forget about the beauty of this world, and just going outside, seeing the fascinating way this world is imperfect, but perfect in its way. I fell in love with animals and plants, trees, during my experience in Somalia. And I really appreciate every waking moment of life. And it's really something special to just sit outside, put your phone down, and just enjoy the scenery. I bet you guys didn't know this, but the number one pastime for Somalis is people watching.
I did not know that. That's really obvious because we be watching each other.
That's not surprising.
We've all been walking by a house and the curtain moved a little bit. That's happened to everybody.
At all times.
Yeah.
I feel like, is there reward for good anything but good? It's such a direct direct message. It doesn't even have to be kind of dissected, but even when we have all these social media platforms, we always have to remember that we should be reminding the people of good and khair and using our platforms for benefit. And that's why we do this segment. Also, sometimes when I feel like, you know what, social media is just overrated and I want to leave, I remind myself that there's a lot of sisters that always keep in contact with me or DM me and tell them that my story, my hijab story, my salah story, my fasting story motivates them. They ask me simple questions as how I started wearing the hijab. And so a lot of the times when I feel like, you know what, it's kind of overwhelming, I go back to this ayat, is the reward for good anything but good? And so I know that I'm an imperfect soul, but I'm just trying to put some sort of good in this earth. And if it helps one person, then
keep going. We're going to talk about what we're going to do on the next episode, which is either you got the sauce or you lost in the sauce.
Oi, oi.
It's not a cooking episode. It's not a cooking episode.
It's something you guys want to listen to.
It's about the drip.
Oh. Drip. It's almost happening.
And we out.
Take care, guys.
Until next time, it's the Unfinished Podcast. Check it out.